Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
What do you believe about you? What do you believe about yourself? Because whatever you believe, you shall be. You believe what you think more than what anyone else says. That's why if I want good advice, I talk to myself, you know. If you want to believe something big, believe what God says about you and start to speak it out loud. And you'll change the very trajectory of your life. So I could ask it like this. How many people want to go through life and never be offended? These are not trick questions. Every answer is me, you know. How many people want to go through life with a clear mind and clear thinking? Yeah. God, how many people want to go through life and feel a release of the weight of burden?
Me,
right? So all these things come by the sanctification process, where you're set apart to God's work and to his purposes. But if you don't know that, you still live in the broke down, you know, palace of trying to figure it out on your own. And I want to as gently as I could possibly say, tell you that you're not a savior or a king or a queen. You can't even make one flower, not even a dandelion. But you serve somebody who can make all those things. And so when we say, you know, we know a guy, we can't do it, but we know a guy. I can't heal anybody, but I know somebody who can, right? So we lean into those kind of truths as we move forward through this. And I mean, we've been sitting in a lot of words that end with T-I-O-N. So justification is the first one we started with. You know, that's where Jesus did all the work on the cross. And he set you in a position. So whatever your life is and whatever it looks like, if you've called on the name of the Lord and he's become your savior and your king, then what he did is he took you and he set you over here and he put a tag on you and it said, this person is justified from now on. Not because you do it perfect, because he does. And because you don't lean into it and say, well, Jesus is going to fix me on the other side. I'll just do whatever I want. No, you lean into it in a way that you're like, I'm trying, Lord. Help me. Help me be glorifying to you. Help me, God. Help me to walk where you want me to walk. Lean into what he's calling you to do. Justified, right? That's the first one. Sanctified is the other part. If I know that I'm justified because of what he did on the cross, then I can trust him to set me apart for his glory and set me on a track that is just specifically tailor-made for me, that I know that he's for me and not against me, that I know that he wants to write my name in certain rooms and he wants me to come forward and speak life and liberty and things like that. He gives me a certain calling and a certain assignment to go next to that calling. He does it all the time. Every single one of us have different and unique bents and callings. We have, just like we have different personalities and different likes and dislikes. So God sets your name apart. He sanctifies it. He puts it to the side over here and says, I'm going to call that person for this work. And then you go do that work. And then there's different times of your life where the assignment might change, but the calling is still the same. Okay? Okay? Good? Okay, then we have glorification. That's another one we talked about. The glorification process, that's what your promise that you're holding out for. That's when this old body that I got to feed every few hours, I got to wash this thing every day, I got to clean it up again. This thing takes on immortality from this life to that life. And then I'm forever present with the Lord. What a day that will be. And forever, eternal life, the gift of God, eternal life in our hearts. Well, I'm preaching some happy stuff. I hope you can receive it. So today I want to talk about another T-I-O-N word. And I almost called it liberation, but I'm going to call it revelation instead. Because if you get a revelation about what I'm talking about, the liberation part will come. And if you can get a revelation, that's the revelation. It's like, oh my God, I get it. That's what it was. And you thought about it before and you wondered what it meant. Maybe you were close to some ideas before, but then your brain goes, aha. And you have an epiphany. You have a moment of clarity where you understand something that you did not understand before. A revelation. Okay? Go like this if you're tracking with me. Okay. So you got to understand, like, so when I say, how many want to have a clear mind? And we say, oh, yeah, that's me. But how many want to come away from anything that pollutes it and is chaotic and set before the Lord? Okay. if I say, how many want to have, you know, good relationships where you don't have any burden that you bear, where you carry all the weight of something all the time? And everybody raises their hand, right? Everybody goes, yeah, I want that. But how many will cast their care on the Lord in prayer and give it back to the Lord and not pick it up? And if you do pick it up, cast it again. Because this is how we get our freedom. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we figure out how to become what he's called us to become. Amen, church? Okay, so quick testimony. All right. I'm not going to preach something that I don't do myself. I'm not going to talk about something that I don't walk through myself, that I haven't walked through or that I'm not walking through right now. And so the testimony is this. You know, Scott and I grew up in very different households. Very different. I mean, his mom and dad, his dad's an eye doctor, an optometrist by trade. I mean, by career. His mom worked in the office the whole time. They were like pillars of their community in the Church of Christ. You know, no instruments are played in the Church of Christ. It's difficult when you're a musician and you know, you like music and you go to a church that doesn't validate your gift. It was real hard, you know. So Scott grew up in that. And they had a lot of money. They had a lot of success. And so then, but their conversation's real dry, home real dry, you know, somebody like, throw somebody like me in that, you know, it's like, oh boy, wow, you know, where did she come from? Then we have my house, you know, my house is messy and chaotic and loud. You know, I have a stepdad who was an alcoholic, he was a Vietnam veteran, and alcoholic, and so he was abusive, you know, and unless him and mom were in church, then he was better, you know, but those were small seasons and very few, far and few in between. And so our house, you know, tumultuous. My biological father, who is my sperm donor, was absent all my life, had many opportunities to come back into my life, failed again, still absent, okay? So little money, lived on a government pension. I told you guys last week, you know, 6 people in the house, 1 bathroom. You figure it out. It was difficult. And then grandma moved in. Okay, so they're different houses that we live in, very different. But we both ended up in the same dregs of society, okay? Rock and roll music, drugs, you know, sex, party lifestyle, anything we could do to numb, you know, what was going on. And you know what? We weren't sorry, and we loved it. We didn't care what God thought. We were rebellious in our nature. People are like this in the world. You know, if I talk about Jesus online, people come at me hard. And they'll say cuss words to me, to your pastor, right? Online, they don't care. And But I'm not afraid, because I remember when I didn't know his name, and I didn't understand, and I didn't care what he thought. And I was just drowning in sin. I loved it. Man, I was full of lust. I was just full of it. I just full of a party spirit. I mean, I knew how to gather a crowd. You know, when I had a party, there'd be 10 times as many people at a party that I threw. And it was fun. And people felt they were there having fun. Everybody's getting drunk. Everybody's, you know, sleeping with everybody. And all the music is blaring. And it was like, and then the next day, your head hurts really bad. And you're just like, what the heck? You know, and what was that? And I lived in a fog. And so did Scott. We grew up in very different households. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't even matter what household you grow up in and what circumstances befell you, I don't know, whatever came. We end up in different places in society all the time. The bottom level is the one that I just described, because everybody accepts you there. Of course, they'll beat you up if you do something wrong or slash your tires or sugar your gas tank. All that stuff happened to me too. I'm getting a fist fight in any given moment. It's just like a wild life. It's not a life that God intends for us to live, right? But I believe that now, so but God, okay? So I'm talking about God all along. Even when I was doing all those things, he could see me over there. And he was like, man, that girl right there, I'm going to get her. I'm going to set her up in such a way. I'm going to surround her with people that are going to tell her about me until she falls, until she crumbles and all that pride falls off of her. And I'm going to break her, and it's going to hurt. And she's going to endure it, because I'm going to love her so good and so strong. And she's never going to know a love like this. Never. All the places she's been, all the people who said they loved her, and all the people who touched her are never going to compare to how I'm going to touch her. And he set my life apart. And he called me. And a series of fortunate events took place in my life. I go to church. I go to a charismatic church. It's a spirit-filled church. There's a lot of tongue-talking, a lot of stuff. I'm like, this is crazy. This church is a cult. I can't. Who could go here? It's wild. My mom's over there in some kind of trance, you know? I'm like, what's happening? And the Lord is calling me, though, calling me, drawing me to his presence. Very cold person, very hard, very rebellious. And I could put you in your place. But God saw me. And so he reached in. And what happened was the plan of salvation came to me. And I yielded my heart to him. Okay? I think everybody in here has yielded their heart to God in a plan of salvation. We might have missed out that we thought that was a one-hit wonder, that we did that and we prayed that prayer and then we got that t-shirt. I got saved. What about you? And then we move on to our other life, to the next thing we're doing that has nothing to do with that. So what that means is you didn't get saved. You missed it. Because when you get saved and you fall into the salvation gambit, you are in it. And you never walk out of it. Now, you stumble. You have stuff. Stuff comes up. Life punches you in the face. It's tough. But you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and you learn the word. Somebody asks you how you are. It could be, even this morning, you know, I've got layers of things going on in my mind. How are you doing this morning, Lisa? I go, you know what? I'm hanging on to every promise. Yeah. That's what I am. You know, I'm bought with a price. Yeah. You know, I'm not my own. So whatever I got to do, I'm going to come in. I'm going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to lay it down before him the best way that I know how. So I don't have anything else, and I don't have anything of my own. Anything I could serve him would be a filthy rag. But he comes with glory and forgiveness, and he sets me apart, and he moves me into this place of revelation knowledge of who he is. And once I understand who he is, sin has no hold on me. It can't take me out anymore. Because I see it. I see it like somebody peeking through the door, trying to get me in a bad way. And I have to raise up the standard of the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. And it's like stuff that we don't hear. You know why? Because we're so buried in our phones. We're so buried in our algorithms. Man, I'm addicted to this little coloring game now. It's ridiculous. My granddaughter got me on it. It's your fault, Ava. And I color, color, color all the time. But it calms me down. It keeps my mind busy. But the thing is, get out of the algorithm that you're in. And let the algorithm of the Holy Ghost come. You know what an algorithm is, guys? That's what you like on your phone that comes to you all the time. So you look at the same things all the time, every day. And it's like, look at that, you become what you behold. You become what you see. What you're looking at, you're becoming that. What's in front of your eyes? Get a revelation on this. You can change the trajectory of life by changing the algorithm that you look at every day, getting a revelation. You have to ask God for revelation. Aha, Lord, let it be so in my heart that I go, aha, that's what you meant. All the time. And I can walk in that. Does that sound good to anybody besides me? So listen to this. Paul's the best teacher on teaching us how to live the Christian life. And this is an aha moment. Okay, this is one of those moments you go, oh. Okay. Paul, Romans 6. He says, plus we got a surprise for you for the summer. There's going to be a Bible study on Romans before church, Sunday school. Just wanted you to know. Cherries are going to teach it. It's going to be fire. This is a little snippet of Romans 6. It says, okay, there's a lot before this, but he says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Mic drop. Don't just give into it. Don't just do whatever you want. When you do that, you end up in a cycle of just further and further and further away from what God has for you. You know, have you ever seen that meme where the girl's got this little teddy bear, and she's looking at Jesus, and behind his back, he has a gigantic one. So it's kind of the same, but bigger and better. And he wants the one that she has, but he has this great, big, huge one. And she's like, but I love it, but I really want it. And if we could get an aha moment that what God has for us is greater than what we can bring for ourselves. It's so much better. It's so much clearer. It's so much sweeter. Like, you don't have to keep making a decision. Am I going to do this? You know, so here it says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. I got to tell you, the first time I read these things, I was like, why do I even know how to do that? I don't even know how not to sin. I mean, I would sin on purpose. Rebellion has to be broken off of the heart, okay? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Present yourself to God being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but grace. Okay? So God brings you an instruction. And when you follow an instruction, you get a revelation. Oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Because then remember, Paul teaches us the whole thing too. Like, the thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I do. Who can rescue me from this body of death? Oh, it's the Lord. The Lord can do it. And so we call upon his name who justified us, who set us into the process of sanctification, who's given us a promise of glorification at the end of all things, who will give us revelation right now so that when temptation comes, we won't fall. Okay? He gives us a revelation so that when temptation comes, we won't fall. We stand. And if we do fall, we fall on grace. And we repent and we come back. But we don't just wash, rinse, repeat. Hey, I'll just do whatever I want. Come tell the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Okay, come back into grace. Doesn't work like that. After a few times of that, because I tried that too. After a few times of that, what will happen is your heart gets cold. And it gets just a little bit bitter. And then it takes a bigger sin to cover and to cope. And you get another step away from him. And another step. He never gets too far from you. He can yank you right back into his presence in a moment's notice. He's very good at taking a big, huge, broken thing and making it into a mosaic. Yeah. Hence my life. Yay. There's a process where we begin to understand that, so you're saying that whatever I am here on earth, and the messes I make and the stuff I don't know how to get over, that you put a tag on me that said I'm justified. So when I come to heaven, and what are you going to say, people? What do you believe about yourself? What are you going to say that gets you access to the King of all kings? I have a little pass. It says, justified. Jesus bought me, bought my life. I'm a redeemable piece. I belong over there because Jesus did it, right? And very humbly and very small. Nothing I did causes me to get there. On this side, now with the understanding and the revelation of that, everything I do causes me to become transformed. Everything I do. Because I make choices on purpose. If you struggle with an issue, you choose the issue. Aren't you glad you came to church? Transformation is not going to just happen to you. It isn't just like, boom, you're transformed. It is a slow and sometimes painful process. Another big word, transformation. Transformation. You become something other than what you are right now. You become something that resembles the image of the likeness of God, made in his image. Did you get what I said? Transformation doesn't just fall on you. Some of the first things you have to understand are, what do you believe about yourself? Do you have any strongholds? Do you have any areas in your life that are just, they're weak, and they just need a lot of structure and support all around? You know, something that you continually find that draws you away from the Lord. What is that? What is that thing? I can't name it. You have to name it. I don't know. I can't see. You all look beautiful this morning. You come in this place, a bunch of Christians, man, looking good, ready to worship God, hands in the air, giving your tithe and offering. I don't know. But he knows, and he can give you a revelation on what the strongholds are that hold you. And then you learn a couple things. Number one, you learn that repentance is a cure. It's always a cure. For what ails you? True repentance isn't saying I'm sorry, okay? True repentance is turning away from that thing and walking that way. If that thing is over here, I'm going to be way over there, away from it, okay? Repentance is the cure. 1 John, listen to this. It's part of the process. When we get low before God, he lifts us up. When we come before God and we bring ourselves down low in repentance, he lifts us up. He's very good at it. No one can do it like him. He said, that which was from the beginning, this is John speaking, the disciple. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we've seen it with our own eyes. We've looked upon it and our hands have handled it concerning the word of life. Can you understand what that's saying? Does it make sense to you when we're reading it? Or are you like, what? You know, sometimes the word, if it feels like that and it's a little cloudy, pray for revelation. God, open my eyes that I can understand what this says. How will I ever be transformed if I don't even know what you're saying? Right? Show me your glory, Lord. Show me what this means. And so if he's saying that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, we've seen it with our eyes, we've looked upon it, they're having an experience with Jesus, with the gospel, with these truths that we're talking about. It's tangible for them. They understand. They're experts in the Word of God and its transforming power, and they're sharing it with the reader. He says, the Word of life was manifested, verse 2, and we've seen it, and we bear witness to it, and we declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may fellowship with us. And that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Okay? Fellowship with him, fellowship with one another. This is the message which we have heard from him and we declare to you. Ready? This is the message. We've heard it. It's been tangible to us. We've lived it. We've seen it. We've looked at it with our own eyes. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. Now, if we say that we fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What? Did you get that? You know? And so don't be deceived. Now, there is a grace place where you're coming from here, going to this, okay? And God will help you. He will sustain you and hold you with his righteous right hand. And help you overcome obstacle after obstacle, all right? Day by day, being transformed into the image of his likeness until he comes. And then it says here, if we walk in the light like he's in the light, and darkness isn't part of our life then. We don't choose it. But how many of us know, there's a phrase going around, it says in the Christian circles, like you want God, he's sending a limousine for you, but you keep calling Satan for an Uber, all right? Stop. He doesn't have anything for you. He doesn't hold the keys of life. He only holds death and darkness and deception. He's breaking you. His whole objective is to steal, kill, and destroy and break your life. And God's whole purpose is that you might live and have life and live it to the full. This is so good. Man, I almost patted my own self on my own back for that preaching right there. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. This is kind of funny because I hear people talk and they'll try to tell a story and they can't think of anything they ever did that was sinful. And I'm like, well, man, I could tell you about 5 things just from observing you for the last 10 minutes. But it's like, but I don't do that. I let God go ahead and speak what it is. Because when you have been a train wreck of a person and you have lived a broken path and you know what it was like and you remember who reached in and saved you, whoever has been forgiven much loves much. And man, I've been forgiven of a lot of things, a whole lot of things. And I come before the Lord. When he tells me that he made my home his dwelling place, my heart his home and his dwelling place, that blows my mind. It blows my mind. I do not deserve that. Nobody is worthy, just him, right? You come in with a humility. And if you think you don't have any sins, maybe you're a pretty good person. You're pretty morally good. But I'm going to tell you, if you got this, if you did one thing, you missed the glory of God. And the Bible speaks it to us in Romans again. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is a problem. It's a problem. You get into a place when you've walked with God for so long that maybe your sins aren't drunkenness and lasciviousness and lust and greed. Maybe they are. I don't know. I'm not your judge. You have one of those. It's not me. Maybe your sins are, I'm not going to share the gospel. I'm a Christian, but in name only, you know. Those things become sinful to us when we know what we're supposed to do and we don't. We know what we ought to do, but we don't. They're called sins of omission. I'll just choose to be neutral, you know. I got to tell you, I'm not ashamed of what I do here. I love this church. I love this little church. I love you. I love you. Love you. Love you. 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 All of you. And you. And you guys. I love you. That's why I come in here. I'm not ashamed of us. I'm proud of us. We walk in the goodness of God. We have his name tattooed on our heart. He has our name tattooed on him, on his body. You know, I'm not ashamed of those things. And I think what it comes down to when you're a Christian and you know the truth and you know the answers, but you withhold them, it becomes a sin. It becomes a stumbling block. Because how can you come before him how can you expect all of his glory to come when you've withheld? He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. But if you speak about me to people, I will make a declaration of you before my Father in heaven. Now, when you're living this life, you don't think about that life. But I'm going to tell you, this life is a vapor. It's a, that's it. That is your life in an image. It's this long. Because I can tell you, man, I've watched these grandkids come. I had a long run with just my family, just me and my kids. And then husbands came along, you know, and then the family started to grow. And these grandkids come along. Time is just like fast, flying fast. And you can't see it when you're in the middle of it, especially when you're young. When you're young, you can't see it. But you get a couple years on you, and you're like, whoa, how is she sick, going to be six? How is he going to be seven? How is this going by? It's like a vapor. It's happening so fast. And so you trust that the Lord will give you a revelation that he has set eternity in your very heart, that you know that like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. And they are coming one by one, faster and faster as the time goes by. What do you believe about you? Do you know what the armor of God is? Do you know what your strongholds are? Do you know how to speak light into darkness? Do you know how to overcome? Do you know how to rip the head off the enemy when he's trying to take out your family? Man, I thought I knew that. I just come before the Lord. Whatever you have, whatever you want, I'll belong to you. I speak authority. I declare it. I put on the armor of God. You know, I've got a sword of the Spirit, and I better learn how to wield it. Do you know those things? Are you wielding those things? Therefore, take up the armor of God that you might be able to withstand an evil day, that sin wouldn't come on top of you. You would destroy it. And after you've done all you know to do, you know what you do? You stand. That's all I got, God. And he's like, finally, I can finally move. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Man, I like that. That's imagery, you know? Think about those movies that have like period films where there's the castles and the kings and the knights and the armor, and you have it on you. It's not a physical one. It's a spiritual one. It's invisible to the eye, but it's there. And you know, because you know you're a fighter and you know what you've endured. And you know that you've overcome every single one of your temptations. And you're sitting right there, alive. Devil didn't take you out. Look at that. Take up the armor of God and put it on. And just, we always like to say when we talk about the armor of God that there's nothing on the back. There's no armor for your backside because you're never meant to retreat. But you know what? You better get somebody that's got your six. So someone didn't come get you. Proverbs 16:10, it says, the name of the Lord, it's a strong tower that the righteous run into and that they're safe. Proverbs 18:21, death and life and the power of the tongue, those who love it will eat its fruit. So how's liberation going to come if not revelation? How's revelation going to come if you're not looking in the Word? How's the scripture going to become real to you if you don't read it? You got to look at it. You'd be starving to death spiritually if this is all you get every week. That's why I talk fast and try to pack a lot of it in there. I got to make sure it sustains you, at least through the day, right? But when you go out of here today, you know, let your mind be renewed on this word. Let your spirit be transformed into the image of his likeness. You're justified, set apart, sanctified, called by the name of Jesus. Glorification is the future when you die. How do you know that, Lisa? Man, I've already seen too much. I'm already ruined. I just can't unbelieve. I can't. I'm ruined. I've seen too many things. I've seen God come through too many times. And he never lies and he never disappoints. All right, you guys can stand up with me. I'm going to do a couple things while you stand up and then we'll get out of here. A decent time today. So transformation isn't just going to happen. It's going to happen little by little, day by day, by the revelation knowledge that you get, which you're going to have to ask God for. Are you going to ask God for some revelation, Terry? You going to ask him? You going to ask God to bring you some revelation that you might transform into the image of his likeness? We got to do it. There's another thought, too, that when you pray something and it sounds like this, you know, God, I need you, you know, come in my heart, save me, all that kind of stuff. That's the first prayer you might pray to God. But there's many, many prayers that come after that. And sometimes they're just worshipful prayers. God, aren't you good? Aren't you holy? Won't you do it? Won't you have your way? And then there's pleading prayers. God, can you see me? Can you see what I need? Can you see what needs to happen? God, will you make a way? And then sometimes there's intercessory and stronger prayers that go like this. Before I'm even talking, you know, God, would you let your glory come in here and give us authority over the things of the kingdom of darkness? And it goes like this. Back, kingdom of darkness. Get off of my family in the name of Jesus. Back, kingdom of darkness. Every spell, every vex, every hex, everything I looked at that I shouldn't have seen, would you forgive me for? Would you bring peace, Father? Back, Satan. Not today. And I'm going to walk in a place of authority, sanctified by God, with the promise of glorification of heaven, while I'm living here, being transformed into the image of his likeness, until he comes by revelation knowledge, so that when temptation comes, I'm not going to succumb. You follow me? I don't do that on my own strength. I fail miserably on my own. But I'm not alone. Yes. Surrounded by angelic presence. I'm surrounded by the blood of Jesus, by his name. And so when I speak, the enemy scatters. Not because I'm great, because he's great, right? When the night watch, when it's just you and him, there's no one else to call on. You call on the name of Jesus. You know where you learn these things? Ladies know, when you're sitting up with a baby in the middle of the night with a fever, and there's no name you can call on except Jesus. Nobody can help you there. And Jesus comes. He'll give you wisdom. He gives you vision. He gives you strength. We learn these things all along the paths of life. I'm just telling you where I learned that one. You know, but I know this. There's something about that armor that when you put it on and you engage, the enemy has to scatter, and it's part of your liberation. So, you know, you're looking at things in our country. You look at, you know, we just had a bombing of Iran. You know, that's going to bring repercussions then. Bombs go back to Israel. Something gets planned in the United States. We don't know. And so I don't know about you, but I'm not a fear monger. And I'm not afraid, because I know where my help comes from. And it comes from the Lord. So all these things we're talking about here apply to global, universal things. Because he's the one seated on the throne. And he is in charge. And when I align myself with himself, with him, I got a golden path. Do you understand? It does, this life is a vapor. I'm living for that one. Okay? What? How does that go? As long as everybody makes it. It's going to be good, okay? So listen, let's just pray. Let's pray together. I'm going to pray over you. If you agree with me, pray it in your spirit. Pray it in your heart. If you don't agree with me, God will show you. You know, he'll speak to your life. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for the work of the cross that calls me justified. Me, broken me, justified in your presence. Thank you for the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, covered in your blood, that every time you look at me, you see that. And you say, pardon. What a glorious thought, God. What an incredible thing. Father, help us not to take that for granted even one day. God, thank you for setting us apart, sanctifying us, making us with our personalities and our desires and our work and our calling. Help us to lean into it and hear it, that we might be fulfilled in this life for your glory and for the next life. Father, thank you that home is heaven and you've gone to prepare a place for us. And if it wasn't true, you would have told us. Thank you. We look for home in heaven and all the people who have gone before us, that great cloud of witnesses that cheers us on, God, that they can see things we only hope for, God. God, I pray for revelation knowledge to come to the people standing here under the sound of my voice and to anybody who checks this out online. Father, that you begin to open up the beauty and the depth of your word and the wisdom in it, God, and that we might be transformed into the image of your likeness as we have revelation. Revelation, transformation. Revelation, transformation. Father, I pray that we draw lines in the sand, even now in the spirit, that we leave strongholds and we leave things that have tried to move us away from you. And we call on your name, Jesus. Would you have your way, that we might be the light of the world, that we might be salty? What good is salt if it loses its flavor? Would you make us so salty, God, that people just want to know you? Not because we're perfect, but because we're not. We are human beings, Lord, looking for you, for your salvation, and we thank you for it. In the name above every name, we put on the armor of God and we pull the enemy down from our families, from our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Thanks for your attention today. I love you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.